Okay, it's a very special schus to learn again together. I want to talk about something that you'll see how it comes up in this week's parasha, but it's really a lesson for life. Because I feel that it's an area, it's a midah, it's a character trait that we all, sadly, on some level at times, suffer from. We have to try our best to work on and make sure that it doesn't keep us down. There's a Mishnah, we all know this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Kina taiva and kavod, motziyan es ha'adam min ha'olam. Kina, jealousy. Taiva, having temptations towards physical, different things that we shouldn't be pulling ourselves towards. And kavod, and the desire for kavod, a desire for respect from others, literally pull a person out of this world. Then when people who are jealous people who are searching for respect, people who are always going after our temptations, we don't allow ourselves just to be alive. Come more. We don't allow ourselves to live a meaningful, happy life. We think about these things all the time. It takes over our thought, it takes over our mind. We can't even exist. We can't function. It takes us out of this world. And if we stop for a moment, it's all sheker. It's all a false sense of life. In fact, by the way, if you take the gematria, special matana Hashem brought me, if you take the gematria for kina, taiva, and kavod, those three midos raos, those terrible midos, kina, jealousy, taiva, running after our temptations of life, and kavod, and respect, if you add it up, kina, taiva, and kavod, it's exactly gematria 600. Trust me on that. You could do it later. Which is exactly the gematria of sheker. Something that's false. It's a false sense of life. It's not how we should be living. And we know the letters of sheker all are not stable, right? The letters of MS, Aleph, Mem, and Tav, have a strong foundation. Aleph has a very strong foundation to it. If you look at the letter, and a Mem as well, and a Tav as well, they all have two legs to stand on. Sheker, Shin, as it's written in the Torah with a point at the end, and a kuf and a resh are all only on one leg as they fall apart and they don't allow us to live our lives in a simchadik way, in a happy way. But I want to talk specifically about the first one of those midos. I want to talk specifically about kina, jealousy. Because that's the first one on the list. And therefore, in a certain sense, it might be the worst. And it's something that literally can consume our thoughts. We're constantly, Baruch Hashem, involved and around other people. Especially here in camp. In camp, it's non-stop social hour. Whatever we're doing, we're with others. We have almost no time to ourselves, which sometimes could be a little bit suffocating, right? Some of us might want a few moments to ourselves. So we have a nice campus here. You know, there are times you could just walk away and walk by the lake and do what's called bodhis. Take some time to yourself and think and chill and get away from everybody else. Don't feel a need to be with everyone 24/7, although most of that is very beautiful. It's beautiful to have relationships and be with others and share life together in beautiful friendships that have been made and enjoyed here in camp. But at the same time, there's a risk when we're so connected to others and looking around at others and see what others have, that sometimes there's a sense of kina, a sense of jealousy. Jealousy of the possessions of others. Jealousy of the life of others. Jealousy of the talents of others. Jealousy of the simchas achayim, the happiness of others. There's all different types of jealousy that we have for people that we know. And we know that what does jealousy do for us? If it would be something that would encourage us to be more successful, encourage us to be better people, then that might be something beautiful. In fact, there is one form of jealousy which is good that's what I'm talking about. Kina Sofer, right?
Yeah, I didn't say jealous of other people's learning.
Beautiful, right? When you have jealousy in spirituality, of learning, of davening, and that helps encourage you to be a better person, better Jew, that's actually a good kina. But most kina, what does it do for us? Most jealousy, all that it does is make us sad. That's all it does. There's no other ends. I'm jealous, I'm sad. I'm miserable. I'm unhappy. That's what jealousy does. So surely none of us want that midah in part of our lives. We don't want to be jealous. Right? Nobody here wants to be jealous. And in fact, it's an incredible thing. If you think about it, this week's parsha, Parshas Veschanan, we have some of the most famous psukim in all of Torah. Anyone know what's in Parshas Veschanan? What I'm referring to? I don't know if you've looked at the parsha at all yet or no. In Parshas Veschanan, first of all, the first paragraph of Shema is in Veschanan. But there's also in Parshas Veschanan is the Aseret HaDibros, the Ten Commandments. It's in two parshas. It's in Veschanan, and it's also first in Parshas
Yisro.
Excellent, right? Parshas Yisro. So here the Aseret HaDibros are repeated by Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Aseret HaDibros, surely if they are the Ten Commandments, they surely take some form of prominence in our religion, right? Meaning, obviously, we're supposed to try to the best of our ability to keep every single mitzvah, and we're not allowed to say, oh, this mitzvah's not important. Yeah, I'm going to daven every day, and I'm going to make sure to keep Shabbos, but like, tznius, that's not for me at all. I can wear whatever, whenever I want. That's not a great outlook at life. Meaning, our avoda as an Eved Hashem is to try to keep every single mitzvah. Even though some of them might be more difficult than others, some we might connect to on an easier level than others. Those that are more difficult, those, that's where our nisayon is. That's where we could show our greatest relationship with Hashem. If it comes easily to us, it doesn't show as much how much we're indebted and how much we're willing to build a relationship with Hashem, right? It's exactly, by the way, those mitzvahs that are a little more difficult, that we should be putting more energy in, that we should be trying harder in, and show our avas Hashem, our love for Hashem, that I'm willing to do this for you, even though it's hard for me. But we're not, right? So we take every mitzvah as very chashuv. Every mitzvah is very important. Every single one. But at the same time, there has to be something special about the Aseret HaDibros that makes the Aseret HaDibros. There's a reason God chose these 10 to be the 10 commandments. And to be written on those stones, the first Aseret HaDibros by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, the second by Moshe Rabbeinu. And seemingly as well, we'd assume there has to be something really special and really deep and really life-altering in the foundation of our lives, the final of the Aseret HaDibros. Just as the first of the Aseret HaDibros is so, right? The first of the Aseret HaDibros is believing in Hashem. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. To believe in Hashem, which clearly is part and parcel of every moment of our lives. Every mitzvah we do is only because we believe in Hashem. So that's the first of the Aseret HaDibros. Every moment of our life we should be thinking about Hashem and building amunah b'Hashem. And what's the last of the Aseret HaDibros? What's the final of the Aseret HaDibros? Anybody know? The last one? Who wants to say, huh? You're thinking, you're going through them. What do you say? Lo Tachmod. Excellent. The last of the Aseret HaDibros is not to be jealous of other people's things. Not to be jealous of other people. So it must be HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to teach us something and show us something. That this is crucial to our existence. This is crucial to our avodas Hashem. This is crucial to what it means to be a Jew, what it means to be a person, and ultimately what it means to be happy. Because that's what we all want, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for us. To be happy. Everything in life that we're involved in is to find and to be besimcha, right? Why do we do anything in this world? Why are we running after anything that we'd like to do? Because we think it's going to make us happy. And there are small levels of happiness, simcha, and there are higher levels of happiness. You're going to go today to the outlet stores, right? Going to the outlet? No, am I wrong? Where are you going today? Sky Zone. Where are you going? Sky Zone. Okay, maybe I ruined the surprise. I don't know. Could be. Maybe I'm off. Maybe I'm wrong. Don't hold me to that. Wherever you're going today on your trip, wherever you're going to your trip, so whatever trip you go on today, the reason we go on a trip is to have a good time and to be besimcha. And the reason if you're going to end up in some store and you might buy some nice shirt is because you think that's going to make you happy. And it might on some level. But obviously there are lower levels of happiness and there are higher levels of happiness. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be happy. And I think what he's telling us by the final of the Aseret HaDibros is Losachmod is don't be jealous, because if we're jealous of others, we're never going to be happy. I'm always going to be wanting more and wanting a different life. But here's the big question, girls. How is that a commandment? How is that one of the Aseret Dibros? How is it possible to control? I get it. God could command me to do maisim, to do actions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could tell me to keep Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could tell me to dress in a particular way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could tell me that on Sukkot I want you to eat in a sukkah, and on Pesach I want you not to eat chametz and to eat matzah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu could tell me if someone's sick, I want you to go visit that person to show them that you care. Those are all actions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could tell me to daven, and I'm going to daven with my mouth, as hopefully we all did this morning, right? So those are all actions. Being jealous is in my mind, is in my heart. It's an emotion. How could the Ribbono Shel Olam control and ask of me to control my emotions? Let me just develop the question. I'll give you a chance, right? How could he ask that of me? How could that be a mitzvah? It's not, you could argue, it's not in my control. I don't have the ability. Meaning, either I am jealous or I'm not jealous. It's not my fault. I don't want to be jealous. I don't want to feel this. I know that it makes me miserable and sad. How could it be a commandment? What can I do about it? It's not within me. What? It's not my choice, ultimately. So what can I do about it? And how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu hold me responsible if I am jealous? That's just a natural emotion that's within me. What do you want to suggest?
So we learned, I don't remember who said this, but we learned.
So the only way I've understood how to deal with losach mode and why it could be a lav, exactly as you suggested, was based on the words of the Ibn Ezra. I learned this years ago from Rav Meir Tversky, who's one of the Rosh Hashivas in YU. And he said it over from the Rav Salvechik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who explained the philosophy of halacha, the depth within the halacha, and this beautiful depth within this particular halacha of lo sachmar, of not being jealous, of not coveting, of not desiring what other people have. And he explains as follows. Let me just give it a little background before we get to what you said. He said, there's different levels, obviously, of jealousy, but to really be jealous means I really want it, and I think about it. And that's what makes me sad. It makes me depressed that I don't have it. But he says, the Ibn Ezra explains, one would only do that if you think there's a possibility you could attain that. And you think that, quote-unquote, you deserve that. And you think that maybe I could have that one day. Meaning what? Let me explain. There's no person who's a normal thinking individual, not a complete shaita, a complete fool, that covets, that desires having wings to fly. Now, it doesn't mean that one day I didn't like daydream about the possibility, oh, it'd be really cool if I had wings and I could fly and I could, you know, instead of going up and down that mountain to TC house, I just like get outside and I fly to the dining room. That would be really cool. That's, yeah, maybe I could daydream about that and think about that. But there's nobody in their right mind that like really, really yearns for that and allows them to become sad about that and has a chemda, a constant desire to have that, because we know it's out of our ability. It's impossible to have wings. None of us could have wings. He says another example, could say in modern day history and current events, and as we know, maybe this is not as true, but he says a commoner, a normal person, doesn't desire, doesn't have chemda, if he gives it in the sense of a man, but we'll say it in the sense of you, since I'm speaking to women, none of it will have a desire to literally marry a prince and become a princess. You might have desires to have luxuries in life, to have things that you think are attainable, but you realize, I'm as a normal commoner never going to marry your prince. That's what Ibn Ezra says. You know, you don't covet that. Now again, in London these days, I guess that was a little bit different. I guess some normal woman did marry a prince. But ultimately, most normal people don't think like this. Because we know in life, if it's something unattainable that I realize is out of the capabilities of my life, I'm not going to have real jealousy of that. I'm not going to have real jealousy of that. So Ibn Ezra then goes on to explain. And maybe this is The key of mitzvah, the way to accomplish what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking of us, not to be jealous. It's not to be jealous. You know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking each and every one of us and what we need to work on? And then the byproduct will be by default, I won't be jealous. Is to be besimcha with all that we have. To first and foremost appreciate all that Hashem has given us and has given us. Appreciate how wonderful our lives are. Appreciate, you know, I have a very close friend who's unfortunately blind. He's an amazing person. He had a tumor and had to have many operations and ended up going blind from it all when he was about 18 years old. And then he ended up finishing smicha and finishing law school and a social work graduate school as well. He's an amazing person, a very special person. He's blind. And my relationship with him has helped me in my life just appreciate very simply being able to see. Sometimes we don't appreciate that if we don't know people who aren't able to see. And appreciate every morning when I wake up to be able to say a bracha, pokeach ivrim, that I'm able to see. And you know what? Our eyesight is priceless. Our eyesight is priceless. I'm a billionaire. I'll give you a proof like that. Lo aleinu, I can talk about us. I'll piskumpel or something. If an individual had some disease and was losing their eyesight, and they went, and one doctor said, I could save it, but it's going to cost you $5 million. And that family is a wealthy family, but that's what they have to their name. If they sold their house, they sold everything, they were able to come up with $5 million. You know what? They do it in a second and go poor to save their son's eyesight. Because our eyesight is priceless. Every morning I wake up and I have priceless gifts from God. Priceless. But it's more than that. It's not just, even Ezra explains, it's not just that we need to work on appreciating all that we have and all that Hashem gives us. We have to also recognize whatever. Hashem is our Father in heaven. Hashem created us. Hashem knows what's best for us. Hashem has given every single one of us the kochos, the abilities to live a perfect life. The happiest life. Whatever our situation is, that's what's best for us. Each and every one of us. And if somebody else has something, the MS is, it's unattainable to me. And if I had it, it's not in my best interest. You know why? Because God didn't give it to me. And God knows better than me what's best for me. And if this person has whatever it might be that I'm thinking should be what I want, I'm just wrong. I can't have that. It's out of my ability to have it. If I realize it's out of my ability to have, then I wouldn't covet it. I wouldn't desire it. I wouldn't have chemda. If I realized also, if I had it, it wouldn't be good for me. And the biggest proof is God didn't give it to me. Then ultimately, I wouldn't want it. You know, there's a story years ago. There was a man in Bnei Brak, in Eretz Yisrael, who won the lottery. And his wife was worried. They won a few million shkalim, whatever it was. His wife was worried that people would look at them and be jealous and put an ayin hara on them. So told her husband, this was a few months later, please go to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the Gadol Hadar, and ask for a bracha that shouldn't have an ayin hara. So he goes to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, oh, you won the lottery. Awesome. So tell me, do you work much less and able to sit and learn all morning long because you don't have to work as much? He says, no, actually, I work so much more now because I have so much more, I have more money, so I bought new businesses and I feel a lot more responsibility. I actually go in much earlier. Oh, you go in earlier to the office, but obviously you get to leave the office very early and have an afternoon stay there. You get to learn all afternoon, right? No, I actually work longer hours even later at night as well because of all my new businesses and buildings and whatever it might be. Reb Chaim Kanievsky looked at him, don't worry, here in Bnei Brak, nobody's jealous of you then. Meaning what? But what we could take from this story is a lot of lessons from that story of what's important in life and what we should be yearning for in life. But also to realize a person might desire to have a lot of money, but where's that money bring them? That money might bring them more responsibility, more people calling you 24/7, more people, whatever it might be. It doesn't mean in life, it doesn't mean because I'm going to have that, I'm going to be in a better situation. That's not how life works. Hashem knows best what's best for all of us, and we have to believe that. And the more I understand that Hashem has given me the most perfect situation for me. Hashem has given me the most perfect situation for me. That's what Hashem has given me. And there, I'll understand that. Of course I'm not going to be jealous of anybody else. I'm going to be happy for them. And that's how the Ibn Ezra says we have to work on kinah. That's how the Ibn Ezra says, that's the key of mitzvah. That's why Hashem commanded. You know what Hashem commanded us? He didn't command us not to be jealous, even though those are the words. He commanded us to more so work on our amunah bitachon and appreciate all that He does for us and appreciate that that's what's best for us. And the default of that will be, I'm not going to be jealous and I'm going to have a much happier life. I'm going to live the most awesome life because I'm happy with all Hashem has given me. And I'll tell you just one last thing. You guys are still young women, but in a few more years, b'shato mislachas, you're going to be at an age where you're going to start dating and be in shiduchim. Okay, don't get scared, don't get nervous, don't worry about that. It'll all be beautiful. And you have the schus to go to all your friends' weddings. And I'll tell you this. At a wedding, it's all simcha, and for some reason at a wedding, the Eitzahara goes to the side, and we're able to dance and be awesome, and be misameach for another person in the most awesome of ways, right? I'm so happy for you that you found your Basharet. I'm so happy for you that you found the man of your dreams. I'm so happy for you. I give a big hug and kiss. Okay, at the beginning, a fake kiss to the side because you don't want to ruin the makeup, but you know what I'm saying, right? And then you're going to dance together and you're going to be fully in. Nobody's thinking on the side at a chasana and said that I don't have this situation and I want this. Because, you know, this guy's perfect for her. He's not for me. There's another guy that's there for me. There's another guy out there that's best for me. That guy's not best for me. Even though they're so happy, that's for them. I know every couple is the most perfect couple. And I want my shidduch. I don't want her shidduch. So of course there's no jealousy. I don't want that guy. I want the guy perfect for me. So I'm not going to be jealous. I'm going to be so besimcha for my friend. Let's think about this in every situation of life. If my friend has success in whatever area it might be, not to chas v'shalom be jealous, but to realize that's for her, what's best for her, and be happy for her, and be happy with my own life and all that I do. And the more we have emunah bitachon and recognize all that Hashem gives me is best for me. I'll be besimcha in life. I won't be jealous of others. Mekayim, this final mitzvah of the Aseret Dibros, which clearly will bring us to a level of simcha z'chaim, and make the most of every day of my life. That will be a life of simcha, a life of bracha, every moment. And especially here in camp, where there's so much social interaction, I believe deeply this is the key to having a summer of simcha. Because I'm going to be totally content with all that I am and be able to have the most beautiful friendships, only happy for others and their success. And the more besimcha I am, the more simcha I'm going to give to others. And we'll all be besimcha until that time of simcha in the world, that all will be one, and it will be so clear that Hashem is by all of our sides with peace, Mashiach, b'mher v'yameinu. Girls, have an awesome, beautiful time.